Data message rate supply national contest. It's time for another new money in the new year appointment. I'm money. Every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. weekdays on 92.9 FM ESPN and right now.
Cash word, the 5 o'clock hour here is Velvet. Text Velvet, V-E-L-V-E-T to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Text Velvet to 72881. Text Velvet to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck to you. You have until 6 o'clock. And another cash word is coming up at 6 o'clock here on the Gary Parrish Show after the Gary Parrish Show is over.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
So the big news in the market today comes from the Memphis Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks likely out for the remainder of the season with a toe injury. Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian, I'm sure, will be writing about Grizzlies issues in some form very, very soon. He joins me right now. Mr. Calkins, how are you?
I'm still, my toe's fine, and I'm good for the rest of the year.
That's all. Hey, you're doing better than some of the millionaires I know over there at FedEx Forum. I know you just earlier today were at Penny Hardaway's press availabilities. I want to talk to you about that as well, but I want to start with the Dylan Brooks news. On a scale of 1 to, my God, what's happening? How bad of a deal is this?
I think it's the my God, what's happening. I mean, there's no one to blame for this. I mean, like people are, what a tire fire. Well, it is a tire fire at some level, but you have to distinguish between the tire fires of their making, like a trading people who the wrong Brooks, or mishandling whatever, like letting the Chandler Parsons thing, whoever you blame, and as you know, I blame Chandler more than them in terms of how it was handled, but whatever, like those are things that you can say, man, God, what are they doing over there, right? This one, I don't think you can say, what are they doing over there? This is bad luck, right? I mean, this is unfortunate. There's no one to blame here. It's just thrown on the pile of everything else. It certainly does not help matters. It's like, when is this? I mean, literally our conversation yesterday with the Grizzlies and the Grizzlies, with JB and the Grizzlies was, okay, now that all the turmoil and bad things are over, how are you going to go forward, right? I mean, that was the message. We're going to reset. We know who our team is, whatever else. And so then today you have this. So, okay, the bad news isn't over. And then you also have JB comments where he's talking about how the real problem is that things are leaking out. Like, we got to be able to keep things in-house. And that's the only part of this that's sort of internally, organizationally related in the sense of what's going on over there. But the truth of the matter is, on this one, like, injuries always come out. People always break injuries before the teams release injuries. Like, the team release on injuries invariably comes out 12 to 24 hours after Shams or Woj reported. So there was nothing particularly insidious about this one. The fact that Chandler or someone else leaks the fight might be concerning. The fact that Shams got word of the injury before the Grizzlies released it, that's just par for the course in the NBA.
Yeah, that's normal stuff. The stuff that's less normal is, like you said, the fight leaking within minutes of happening. I wonder if they, you know, also the fact that the front office won't activate Chandler Parsons, even though JB wants them to activate Chandler Parsons. Is that a leak as well? Like that, because it does put in the public forum the idea that there is at least a disagreement between the coaching staff and the front office, and it's a disagreement that more or less, directly or indirectly, JB acknowledged. I guess yesterday.
Hey, he clearly acknowledged it. Yeah, it's funny that wasn't as. The weird thing is on that one, we all just kind of knew it, and because of the way they were each acting, I never read a report that said schism in Grizzlies front office. Did you? Like, I never read that sort of headline. I did read most of us surmising, right, that, hey, come on, they aren't agreeing here. And you could sort of tell. And honestly, like, I think Chris Harrington is exactly right on this, and now we're replying over old ground here. But I think it was a mistake by the Grizzlies to have JB, who it wasn't his decision to have JB have to be the one to answer for a decision that was not his decision for a matter of days, 3 or 4 or 5 days before Chris Wallace released a statement on it. I think that's kind of a screw up by the Grizzlies. I think that's what the hell is happening with the Grizzlies. But Dylan Brooks being out for the year is not what the hell is happening with the Grizzlies. And it's not even like a Chandler Parsons injury you could forecast, because why the hell do they sign an injured player? Well, there's nothing, there's literally nobody to blame here. It's just, when is this black cloud that is over the franchise going to go away? But the black cloud is not their fault on this one.
So he suffers that knee injury in the 11th game of the season, misses 6 weeks, comes back 2 days before Christmas, plays in 7 games, played well in moments, even if the team was struggling, got 19 points against the Celtics, 14 points against the Pistons, 15 points against the Spurs, and I'm not trying to pretend that how many points you score, it directly correlates with whether you played well or not, but those are the numbers that most people point to when they point to numbers in the sport of basketball. Then he gets hurt against the Spurs, and now, again, reportedly done for the season with this toe issue. It also does, and listen, I think you and I both were in agreement that it seems pretty unlikely at this point that the Grizzlies were going to actually make the playoffs, but it wasn't statistically impossible or, you know, even that much of a long shot. I think some of the computer formulas were giving them still like a 20% chance to make the NBA playoffs, and if you wanted to attach yourself to the hopes and dreams of that 20%, well, then this just drops it, because you know they're already so limited in so many ways. And I've never loved Dylan Brooks as much as, you know, some people love Dylan Brooks. Like, I think he's more of just a guy than a real building block, but he is one of their better guys, at least in theory. And to not have him, like, it just lowers the probabilities of all good stuff.
There's no question that's true. Listen, if the Golden State Warriors lost Dylan Brooks, you wouldn't care, right?
You wouldn't even think about it, right?
You wouldn't even think about it. But relatively speaking, he's important. And he has some offensive spark. He has a little bit of, honestly, like, one of the things they were talking about yesterday was the morale. But right now, whenever they take a punch, you can just see them visibly slump. And they don't, you know, they have a hard time being resilient. And he's sort of a tough-minded, fiery kind of guy, right? And sort of helps, I think, with that on that front as well. I think in terms of the way he plays, he's feisty and all of that. So I think that's important. And he obviously, again, I wouldn't say this if you're a Warrior, but relative to Grizzlies' wings, he's a reasonably effective scorer. And you just did what you did to get Holiday to improve on the wings, and then you just lost one of your better wings. So it makes the whole thing, yes, seem even that much less likely. I still think the goal is, for me, to be competitive, see if they can regain being competitive. They've not been competitive for the last 15 games, essentially. Basically, since the Lakers game, they have not really been, I think that's the goal, and I don't know if it's reachable. They had a very good practice yesterday, but honestly, this is another blow. You have to be thinking, we're all thinking it, like, when is this, oh man, when's this going to stop? And if you're one of the Grizzlies, you have to be thinking this too, right? I mean, if you're one of the Grizzlies today and you get this news, you're like, oh man, really? Seriously? Yeah, I think it has to seep into the way that they approach things too.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And when the separation between Chandler and the Grizzlies became as official as it can become, one of the things I wondered was, it's not like he's still a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. He's just not activated. It doesn't matter whether he's in Memphis or California. If they wanted to activate him and play him tomorrow, they could. And the only scenario where I thought that would even be contemplated for a second would be if, injuries just, ravaged the roster, or if they made a trade deadline deal. They just, like, if they just decided, hey, we need a body and, like, he's ours. Could you even envision them considering, after everything that's been done, for circumstances that they didn't foresee, which would be injury-induced bad situation, that they'd go, okay, Chandler, you said you're ready to play. We don't like each other, but if you're ready to play, we do need somebody to put in a uniform. Could you see that happening?
No. No, I actually think it's one of the reasons that Shannon was stupid to do what he did. In other words, if he had just hung out, been ready, had not gone on social media, you know, subtweeting, free whatever, you know, like that, but all that stuff, I didn't realize it until I was to Vernon yesterday, and he was one of Chandler's buddies showed up wearing a Dallas Mavericks Chandler Parsons jersey and sat on the front row. Like, there's bad blood there, you know. Like, but my view is this: is that if he had just hung out for a month, right, and just been ready, showed he's ready, you'd probably get your chance. People get hurt in the NBA, but now having set fire to the relationship with his agent taking shots and he's taking shots and. And there's the perception, as Chris mentioned on my show, that that whether it's true or not, that Chandler leaked the stuff about the fight and everything. You think they're bringing him back? I would find it really hard to imagine that they would bring him back. And I think, like, so where does this get him? Like, what did he accomplish by doing what he did? Now he may sit out until next trade deadline, right? At the very least, he's done for this year. He's, I think, destroyed any chance he had of playing for this year. And so, like, if the goal really was to play, what was accomplished by all that?
Well, it's funny. I talked to somebody, let's just say, in the industry about this maybe Monday night. And they said he doesn't want to play the way he's acting like he wants to play. Like, if he really wanted to play, he'd have gone to South Haven and play. That's what you do if you want to play.
Right.
Like, the person said, and this is somebody who knows Chandler, they said, it's not that he doesn't want to play, like that I hate playing, I don't ever want to play basketball again. That does happen to some people. That's not right. Him. But if the options are go to South Haven, try to prove yourself, come back, sit on the bench, you know, maybe not even in the rotation, or go to California with your model girlfriend and just hang out. He's fine doing that. And because if he really wanted to play, then he would have done – not only would he have done the thing that was the only path to playing available to him, but he would not have done the thing that he did that takes playing, like you said, for this season, almost definitely completely off the table.
Right. Yes, I think that's right. And that's why I call him a phony. Because then, okay, stop with I need to play. I just want to play. I just want to prove myself. I want to – like, whatever. No. You don't want to play. You want to be a star, right? You want to be a star NBA player. That's what you want to be. You don't just want to play. You don't just want to do anything to crack and scraw and get yourself, to get yourself back into the lineup. You want to be Chandler Parsons that was in Houston and Dallas, like that guy. You want to be that guy. And that's fine, but you're not that guy, and they wanted you to prove you could be that guy, and that's fine. He did. He took it off the table. Like, who the hell just opened the fire on management, both on social media and through the regular media? Like, it doesn't – like, honestly, once you do that, they almost can't put you back in the lineup because then you look like you're just capitulating, right, at that point. At that point, you look like you're just capitulating. Do I think his chances of playing – yeah, I mean, let's be honest, like, Mark could get hurt, right? Mark's playing heavier minutes than any big in the league, right? And then anyone of his age in the league. So Mark could get hurt. Like, this isn't necessarily the end of injuries. The Dylan Brooks injury doesn't mean just because they've had bad luck doesn't mean they won't have more. And so I think there's a reasonable chance Chandler Parsons would have played. But I think now there's no chance. Do you think there's any chance? I think, I don't know. I mean, I think it would require an alien... you know, alien kidnapping of half the Grizzlies team before Chandler Parsons played.
That'd be some, wouldn't it?
Wow.
That would be.
Yeah.
That JP would, like, who leaked the alien kidnapping?
Would it be?
We were gonna put an announcement about the alien kidnapping.
Yeah.
At this point.
Someone got on the cell phone, yeah.
Where did you get that information?
At this point, I'm just rooting for things to talk about. And so.
There's plenty.
And so Chandler Parsons coming back, even if it's unlikely, is something I would be for because it would be a great topic of conversation. Similarly, an alien kidnapping of half the roster would be an amazing story. And so if the aliens are listening, I'm all for it. If you don't mind, like, reach out to me
don't
in advance.
Don't harm the Grizzlies.
I don't want any alien murder. I don't want alien murders on my conscience. But just a brief kidnapping that creates a storyline. Get me through four notable stories at 4:44. I'll take that for sure. Talking to Jeff Cock is here, 92.9 FM ESPN. Earlier today, we'll move on to the Memphis Tigers. You were at Penny Hardaway's press availability. Anything interesting come of that?
Well, I mean, they're getting ready for East Carolina. It's not exactly a colossal game or anything else. So there was nothing particularly striking. I'll tell you what was interesting, though. It's always, to me, the reason I go to these press conferences, like I knew I probably wasn't writing about this today. I'm going to the Grizzlies game tonight, and I'll write Grizzlies, right? But you never know what Penny's going to say. Like it's like
he could just tell Joe Dooley I said to SMID. You don't know.
Exactly. And so with Josh, like you could skip press conferences forever. Same thing with Tubby. Like this isn't even criticizing him at all. Like I have whatever. This is just like in terms of they were going to tightly control what they were going to say, and Josh was going to stand up for the police, and Tubby was going to tell you it takes a while to break a program, and that was like that's what's going to happen. You can skip those press conferences. Penny, you just never know what he's going to say. Now, he didn't say anything outrageous today, but even when he says things that are not outrageous or particularly colorful, he's just interesting. And one of the things that I found interesting was this, is typically with star players who become coaches, what do they say they struggle with? It's with every single one of them, what you hear them say is really tough for them because they can't understand why their players can't do what they could do, right? That's what you hear about why Michael Jordan has a hard time, whatever. They don't understand why they project themselves and they remember how they did it and they have a hard time dealing with coaching mere mortals. That's what the line is about star players who become coaches all the time. And the interesting thing about Penny is he doesn't think about that, struggle with that at all. Like, that's not what he struggled with. That's not what puts him over the edge. The fact that Alo has a hard time hitting a jumper or that other people didn't see the floor the way he did or whatever else. What really does bother Penny is competitiveness. That's why he pulls people. He's like Calipari almost in that respect now. It really comes down to if you're not rebounding, if you're not tough. And so it was just sort of interesting because I think that's true, and I think it's not typical of superstar players. And so I did ask him. I said, when people thought about you as a player, like I'm sure you were competitive, but like that's not what they think about. They think about the flash, and they think about the vision, and they think about all of that. Were you competitive? And he said, you don't become one of the best players in the world without being competitive. Mm. I mean, he just called himself one of the best players in the world. There's nothing not true about that.
Yep.
But it was just interesting because that's not what you typically hear. It has never been the struggle for him. He coached middle schoolers, for heaven's sakes. They can't do what he did, right? But what he really, really struggles with is like a game against Houston where they're getting 21 more shots than you are because they're tougher than you. That's what bothers him.
Yeah, and he's exactly right, by the way, about the being competitive. You cannot be what he became without being competitive because, you know, I've used this example before, but from a talent perspective, coming out of high school and even in college, there ain't much difference between Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley. From a talent perspective, from a production perspective, like Kevin Durant went and set all these Big 12 records as a freshman, and then Michael Beasley came in right after him and broke them all, or broke a lot of them. But where their careers diverged is one of them is a super competitive, like in the gym every minute guy, and the other one's just not. And that's you know, I've talked to enough basketball people to know this. If you are uniquely gifted, the way somebody like Penny Hardaway was, or Kevin Durant, or Michael Beasley, if you are uniquely gifted, that will get you far. It'll make you a high school star. It'll make you a college star. But eventually, when you get to the NBA and you're playing against, you know, everybody else was also probably a college star or at least a star at some. Everybody else is talented. Everybody else is athletic. Everybody else is strong. Everybody else, like, if you are not wired a certain way, you will never be what it is you were supposed to be. So I actually, like, that's a pretty simple answer from him, but I think it's also a pretty accurate answer. Like, you can't be what he was, which was a first-team All-NBA guy. You cannot be what he was unless you're wired a certain way.
Right, and it actually brings you back to James Wiseman, because, as you say, you could be uniquely gifted and be a star in high school and be a star in college. Everyone would say James Wiseman is uniquely gifted, right, in that way. The only one of the things you do hear questions about him is whether he loves basketball and whether he's as competitive as you describe, as a Kevin Garnett. Now, Penny said, by the way, he said, with Kobe and with Michael, you heard all the time about their level of intensity. And it was almost, he was almost suggesting, you know, he said, I wasn't quite there, but I was like there, you know, like I wasn't as overtly competitive as those two legendary sort of cutthroat guys are. It's not how he carried himself. But he said, I was every bit like, I'm that competitive. And it's what would be interesting, that one of the things to see about James Wiseman is where, I haven't seen him enough to know. I just tell you what I hear. That's like one of the knocks, is does he want to dominate all the time? Does he feel the need to dominate all the time? And it'll be one of the interesting things next year as we see him develop.
Well, to that point, and this is all coincidental, I didn't expect to even have this conversation today, but I was on the phone with an NBA scout this morning, and frankly, he was asking me about Dedrick Lawson. Like, you know, are there any red flags there? You know, how well do you know him? You know, what, you know, just sort of background personal stuff. Because the player stuff's easy to see. Usually now when I get calls from NBA people, it's not like they don't care about my opinion on a player.
Right.
They want to, like, do you know their parents? Do you, you know, what have you heard? You know, hey, I know you're tight with his coach. What is the, does the coach like him? Does the coach hate him? You know, is he, you know, does he, you know, all sorts of just background stuff. But so we were talking about Dedrick, and the conversation led to James Wiseman, and the scout said he just has to play hard. Like, he just, the implication being he does not play hard all the time. And sometimes with people who are as physically and athletically overwhelming as James is, they don't play hard all the time because they've never had to. They've just always been so much better than everybody else. If this is a knock on James Wiseman, it's a similar knock on coming out of high school, DeAndre Ayton, who was the number one pick in last year's NBA draft. So sometimes bigs who are just physically overwhelming, they get a reputation for not playing hard because they've never had to play hard. But then a college coach can get them to turn that on. And then sometimes, like, let's not lie, some guys just don't have that switch. And so they get labeled like that forever. We'll see what it is with Wiseman. But that is, if you're looking for a reason why he won't be special, that's the one that NBA people and college coaches, frankly, bring up the most. I don't know if it's a fair knock, but it is the one that gets referenced the most. All right. I'll see you later.
See you, man.
Bye-bye. That's Jeff Calkins. He'll be back in studio tomorrow, 9 a.m. When we get back, Jalen Hurts has put his name in the NCAA transfer portal. What does that mean for Alabama? What does that mean for college football? We'll get into it next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Step my money fast and go.
So the college football season ended Monday night. That's when Clemson beat Alabama. But the college football news continues to trickle out, and there was a significant development earlier today. Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts took an important step toward leaving the program as he entered his name and information into the NCAA transfer portal. That's the first sentence in the story that was posted at ESPN.com. Jalen Hurts is a junior who has 1 year of eligibility remaining, and because he graduated in December with a bachelor's degree from Alabama, he will be able to transfer to another Division I university and play immediately. So he's going to play college football somewhere next season. Now, to understand that just because you put your name in the transfer portal, it doesn't mean you're definitely 100% gone, but it's the first step in possibly doing so, and by all indications, he is planning to do so. I think most people understand the story at this point, but if not, I'll give you the quick version. Jalen Hurts started 28 games at quarterback for Alabama, was 26-2 as a starter, went to 2 championship game appearances, and then was pulled at halftime of last season's national championship game. Tua Tagovailoa comes in, Alabama comes back, wins, and at that point, Tua Tagovailoa, if not officially, was definitely the starting quarterback at Alabama. So a lot of people thought that Jalen Hurts would transfer after last season, and he decided not to. And then a lot of people thought he might appear in 4 games this season and then redshirt to preserve 2 years of eligibility as opposed to just 1. He didn't do that. And then, and what really was a storybook deal, Tua Tagovailoa gets hurt in the SEC championship game. Alabama needs Jalen Hurts, really, for the first time all season, and he leads the team to a touchdown that wins an SEC title and pushes Alabama back into the college football playoff for the millionth consecutive year. And if you remember, you know, the way that that story was packaged, it was in an interesting way. And you know, like I said then, and I still believe it today, I thought it was awesome that Jalen Hurts got that opportunity. It was fun to watch. I couldn't have been happier for him because he did stick it out at Alabama in a situation where I think it's reasonable to say most people wouldn't have. And to see him, I don't know about rewarded for that, but just to see him, for whatever reason, end up in a situation where he can have this all-time legacy moment was super cool. I was in a hotel room in Nashville watching it, and I couldn't have been happier for him. But afterward, I didn't like the message that people tried to attach to it, because whether it was a football coach here or a basketball coach there or a sports writer here or a talk show host there, not everybody, but certainly some, were trying to package the story as, see, this is what happens when you are loyal, you know, to your coach and to your teammates. This is what happens when you do not run from adversity. This is what happens when you just stay focused on your job and you stay prepared and you're ready for any opportunity whenever it might come. And I could nod along with some of that. Like, but it wasn't exactly true. Like, if you wanted to say this is what can happen if you do those things because you never know, that's fine. But acting like this is what happens when you do what Jalen Hurts did is just insincere. Because just because it can happen and it did happen doesn't mean it's what happens. In fact, it's an unlikely scenario. Don't ever forget, the only reason Jalen Hurts played meaningful football snaps this season is because Tua Tagovailoa got hurt. If not for that, Jalen Hurts would have just stood over there with his helmet like he did most of this season. So I didn't like the idea that people tried to twist it into a message for other possible transfers. Don't run from adversity. Stay and be the backup, and you'll be rewarded for it someday. No, you'll probably just be the backup forever. Probably never play meaningful snaps again. And so somebody who seems to understand that now, even if he didn't understand it a year ago, is Jalen Hurts, because he's just decided, in a pretty public way, he doesn't want to be a backup quarterback anymore. And who could possibly blame him? I'll be honest, I thought he should have done this a year ago. And I think a lot of people thought he should have done this a year ago. Now, I didn't have any issue with him deciding to stay at Alabama and, you know, use a year of eligibility, because I decided a long time ago I'm not going to be in the business of telling young people what it is they should do. Like, just because it's not what I would do doesn't mean it's not what you should do if you want to do that. You know, people make decisions about where to go to college and where to stay at college for a whole lot of different reasons. It sometimes is as simple as, these are all my friends and I don't want to leave them. And if Jalen Hurts decided that or something else that tied him to Alabama for a year longer than I would think I would have tied myself to Alabama, it's fine with me. You know, people make decisions all the time. We don't all have to agree with them. They don't always have to be what we would do if we were in that person's situation. But all that said, I didn't understand why you want to be a backup quarterback, because this isn't like some bad football player. He's clearly not as good as Tua Tagovailoa. but he's better than most college football quarterbacks. Like, where in this country could he not have been the starter this season? Alabama, obviously. Clemson, obviously. Oklahoma, obviously. Probably West Virginia, Ohio State. But the list is pretty short. Like, Jalen Hurts is good enough to be a starting quarterback at a major football program, and he will be next season. And so now, you know, the suitors will line up and try to convince him to enroll at their university, because I imagine we'll look up, you know, next season, and he's, you know, not going to be starting for, you know, a Conference USA school or something like that. He's going to be starting for a power conference school, you know, probably in the top 25, and it'll be one of the more interesting storylines in college football. The former Alabama quarterback, and now quarterbacking somebody else, and perhaps even in the same league or same division or same state as the Crimson Tide. Be back.
The success stories tied to Josh Heisaw are so numerous now, I can't possibly get to all of them, but I can get to some of them. One of them belongs to a gentleman named Charles. He had a home out in Cordova, right? Wanted to sell it, so he listed it with Josh Heisaw, like I've been telling you to do for years. They agreed on a price. Josh went to work, got 51 showings on day one, 17 offers. That home sold for more than the asking price. How does Josh Heisaw do it? He does it with his 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first step is Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree. Then Josh goes to work. And if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick. Totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, even if your opinion makes no sense, you can fire him, no questions asked. You can do it via text message. Understand, the average agent in the market struggles to even sell six homes per year. Six. Josh sells more than 200 a year. He's outselling the average agent 34-1. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I would call if I needed to sell my home. It's Josh Heisaw, 461-8147. On the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Off top, get guap, the hood got heavy metal like Slipknot. I hustle for my change like a pit stop. I used to want to grip grain to my wrist lock. Ooh, now I want a BMW i3. It's little buddy's on point like Kyrie. My mama taught me never let a sucker chop me, but if he do, draw blood like an IV.
The calendar has flipped to 2019. We got NFL playoffs happening, basketball season going strong. If you like me, you might be watching games. And if you like to watch games and have a drink, if you like me, you might be doing it with New Amsterdam Vodka. It's premium, 80-proof vodka, made from the finest quality grains. It's five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Cowboy Carson?
So smooth, cowboys can drink it straight.
So smooth, cowboys can indeed drink it straight. But you don't have to be a cowboy to drink it straight. You just have to be a human if you want to. Now, you don't have to. You'd mix it. I'm just saying, if you ever run out of your mixer, if you are somebody who mixes, you don't have to freak out. Not a big deal. New Amsterdam Vodka is so smooth, you can drink it straight. And yeah, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's an awesome vodka that's reasonably priced. You could spend more on vodka, and you will spend more on vodka if you buy it in New York City as opposed to, like, the general Memphis area. Same bottle you can get in Memphis for, like, $19 cost you, like, $38 in New York City. So if you're going to buy it in the Memphis area as opposed to Midtown Manhattan. That would be my advice. But either way, just make sure you buy it. It's America's fastest growing brand of vodka. They got flavored vodkas as well. Grapefruit is the newest, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. So if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam Vodka has you covered. Ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or wine and spirit store. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Boy, they jacked that price up in Midtown Manhattan, Brad Carson.
Sounds like it. What have you been doing? You just getting back to the hotel looking for some New Amsterdam, had to hit the liquor store, and you're like, whoa, $38 in New Amsterdam.
$38 a bottle up here? Woo. Is this the same New Amsterdam vodka I get back home?
I
or is this like gold-plated New Amsterdam vodka?
It's always good, and it feels good, but no, it's just double the price.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's like, you know, like
everything's double the price, though.
Everything's double the price in Manhattan.
I mean, that's everything. Not just New Amsterdam, whatever.
Yeah, the cost of living is more significant here than it is most places in this country.
Why do you think I'm here, Gary?
Cost of drinking also more significant. People don't talk enough about the cost of drinking in Manhattan.
No.
All you ever hear about is the cost of living.
No, it's everything.
How it's very, very expensive to try to have a home and live a life in Manhattan. But what's also very, very expensive, I found out, cost of drinking.
That's true.
People don't talk about the cost of drinking enough in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Something people ought to talk about a little bit more than they do.
You got to drink to get through there, I think. You know.
Okay. Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but let's start with the big news. That was Dylan Brooks, expected to miss the remainder of the season with a toe injury. Suffered late in last weekend's loss at San Antonio. So he's done. After just 18 games this season, he's done for the season, his second year in the NBA. He got hurt in the 11th game of the season, knee injury. So he missed 6 weeks after that. He comes back 2 days before Christmas, appeared in seven straight games. He scored 19 points against the Celtics, 14 points against the Pistons, 15 points against the Spurs, gets hurt against the Spurs, and now is reportedly out for the season. And it is just another thing that this franchise is having to deal with, but it's not another thing like the other things. You know, the recent headlines that have been attached to the Grizzlies, you know, whether it's a fight in the locker room or the Chandler Parsons situation or the did we trade Dylan Brooks or Marshawn Brooks situation, like these are all like things that could have theoretically been avoided. I don't believe it was their fault with the Marshawn Dylan thing, but still, these are things that could have been avoided. So when people talk about, and I've heard these words thrown around, dumpster fire and all of that stuff, like if you want to be mad at the way the franchise has handled certain things, whether it's that trade or that fight or the Chandler Parsons situation, you can be mad, reasonably be mad or frustrated about any of those things. This ain't that, though. This is just unlucky. It's the latest headline that is less than ideal. Like, if you're a Grizzlies fan who dreamed not too long ago about going to the Western Conference playoffs, and now you've been enduring this, you know, one loss after another to the point where it's now a six-game losing streak. This is another headline that is depressing for you, because even though it's unlikely, even with a healthy Dylan Brooks to make the playoffs, given where the Grizzlies are right now and what the projections always were for the Grizzlies and how they're playing right now, it's even more unlikely without Dylan Brooks. And to me, that's the big takeaway. This is nobody's fault. This is just part of basketball or football or any other sport. Almost no team, you know, goes through a season without enduring something like this. And so the Grizzlies are here now. So there's nobody to blame for it. But it doesn't make it any less frustrating, because it's another thing that seems to make it less likely than it otherwise would be for the Grizzlies to get where it is everybody wanted them to go, and where it looked like they might actually go not too long ago when they were sitting there with a 12-5 record. Not having a healthy Chandler Parsons is something that lowers the likelihood of the Grizzlies getting there. Not having a healthy Dylan Brooks is something that lowers the possibility of the Grizzlies getting there. And then not having Marc Gasol play well, which he hasn't been doing lately, that obviously is probably the biggest factor altogether. And so all the reports are that he will have a procedure done, and you know he'll come back at some point, and it's not expected to affect his long-term career in any way, but it will end his second season in the NBA after just 18 games. Dylan Brooks, out for the season, toe injury, suffered last weekend.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Spurs-Grizzlies, FedEx Forum, downtown Memphis. The Spurs are 24-17 overall, but just 7-12 away from home. So they haven't been good outside of San Antonio. Grizz are 18-22 on a 6-game losing streak, so they ain't been good anywhere. Memphis, San Antonio, no matter where they play. And that's why the Spurs are 2.5, 3-point favorites. That number does seem kind of low, but who knows? The total's 203.5. Tip is scheduled at 7 o'clock. You can listen to it right here. Eric Castletown on 92.9 FM. ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, The Wolf of Wall Street is on FX at 7. That's Leonardo DiCaprio and a topless Margot Robbie, so that's fun. Roadhouse is on AMC at 7. Match Game is on ABC 24, 9 o'clock. Ellie Kemper going to be a panelist on that show. If you're up late, Wilco frontman Jeff Tweedy is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Gwyneth Paltrow is going to be on Jimmy Fallon. Kevin Hart is on Stephen Colbert. Andy Samberg is on Seth Meyers. And Amy Adams is on James Corden.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, my friend and colleague Reed Forgrave, who covers the NBA for CBS Sports, did an updated MVP rankings for the NBA that posted earlier today over at CBSSports.com. And I don't know how often or how closely people follow MVP races to the extent that it's a race. It's really nothing more than a bunch of opinions that change constantly from November to December to January, February. And then ultimately we get to a place where we say this person is the MVP. But for whatever it's worth, Reed put together his top 11. Let's see if you can guess them, Brad Carson.
Okay.
Top 11. Let's see how many you can get right before you get one of them wrong.
NBA MVP. So
at this moment.
Okay, James Harden.
He is on the list. That's the correct answer. He's number 2 on this list.
LeBron James.
Is a correct answer. He's number 5 on this list.
Kawhi Leonard.
Correct answer. He is number 3 on this list. Are you cheating?
No, I'm not. I don't have this list. Now's where it gets tough, because those are three. Those are the easy ones, right? So we got LeBron. Da, 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 da. How about a couple of people from the let's go to – hold on. Let me go to DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan is not on this list. That's an incorrect answer.
Damn it.
That's an incorrect answer.
Okay.
You've gotten number 2. You've gotten number 3. You've gotten number 5. You're missing number 1 and number 4.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's number 1 in Reed Forgrave's list of MVP candidates. He says if he were giving away the MVP right now, that Giannis Antetokounmpo would be his MVP, and that's because he's a great player for a really good team, which is usually what this stuff comes down to, unless you're Russell Westbrook and you average a triple-double. But, you know, Giannis has got that Milwaukee team off to a 28-11 start. They're one game back in the East behind the Raptors, but that's the second-best record in the entire NBA because Denver's leading the West, and Denver's sitting here at 27-12. 28-11 is better than 27-12. So the Bucks are led by Giannis, one game back of the Raptors in the East, but they got the second best record in the entire NBA. That among other reasons is why Reed Forgrave has Giannis Antetokounmpo as the leading candidate to be the MVP of the NBA in this season. You're missing number 4. Who's number 4? Then I'll give you the rest.
Is it Kyrie Irving?
You're missing number 8 and 10 and 11.
I can't honestly guess.
Let me help.
There's a lot of people in the NBA, Gary.
Anthony Davis is his name, Brad Carson.
Yeah, that's
Anthony
okay.
Davis.
Anthony Davis, the brow.
Anthony Davis. He's 4. So the list is all this. Right. Giannis at 1, James Harden 2, Kawhi Leonard 3, Anthony Davis 4, LeBron James 5, Steph Curry 6, Nikola Jokic at 7, Paul George at 8, Kevin Durant 9, Joel Embiid at 10, and he's got Damian Lillard at number 11. If you're going to read that and everything else on the NBA, you can find it CBSSports.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be Thursday. We're going to look back at Grizz Spurs. Get ready for Tigers in East Carolina. John Martin going to join me in the first hour. Jeff Dawkins in the second. Oh, God, you'll do your pirate impersonation?
It's National Pirate Day, too, isn't it? That's when the Pirates come to town.
Is it National Pirates
no,
Day?
No, I made that up. It's not.
The East Carolina Pirates are in town. So we'll have Cowboy Carson's pirate impression.
Yeah,
he loves pretending that he's a pirate sometimes. So we'll get into that. It should be terrific. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. Meet me back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.